We are talking about how do you know that you have to put the tefillin on your left hand. And we said, one opinion says, because every time it says yad on its own, it means left, because he brought a number of psukim. When it says hand, the right hand, it says clearly the right hand, which means if it just says hand on its own, it means the left hand. And Rabbi Yossi HaChayim doesn't like that reason at all. He doesn't tell us where he learns it from. So we're up to the Gemara here. Rab Nosson, I'm here, four lines from the top. Rab Nosson says, you know how I know it's supposed to be left hand? Ain't no tzarek. You don't need any other reason than Hari Oimer. It says, Uch char tom, uch sav tom. You should tie your hand and you should write. Mak siva be yamin, just like when you write with your right hand. So too, when you tie the tefillin, it should be with the right hand. If you're tying your tefillin with the right hand, so where can the tefillin be sitting? Must be on your left hand. Av chida be yamin. So the tying goes to the right hand. If you keep with the chida be yamin, if you're going to tie with your right hand, hanocha. So where are you going to put the tefillin? The smile on your left hand. Rashi learns up shot of here is that since most people use the right hand to write with, so therefore you always have to put it in your right hand. As if Rashi is saying, put it on the left hand. As if Rashi is saying it, that there's never a case where you put it on your right hand. It means even a lefty has to follow the majority of people. Put it onto their left hand.
Yes, but I'm saying.
Yeah, because the next Gemara is going to argue with that. As we'll soon see in a minute. Tesis has a whole interesting question there. What happens if you write with your right hand, but all your other activities are with your left hand? Is the main hakpado chart or ksavtom you're writing? I don't care what you do with the other hand. Or the main activity is whatever the majority activities are. So if majority activity is your left hand, you do with your left hand. And what about if you were a lot of people in the early days were forced? They used to put band-aid around the, or the tape around the hand and give a pen in the right hand, even your lefty, and it's right. Yeah? And they force you to become righty. Perfect example. So today they know better. So what do you do then? So now you're writing with your right hand, but you're forced into it. Are you a righty now? What about somebody who's ambidextrous? So anyway, there's a taste there. The Shreinim argue. So it's a long table setting on it. Some people are very machmir. They wear, let's say, the tefillin on the left hand like everybody else, but afterwards they put up tefillin on the right hand without a bracha, just to be yaitzer those other opinions. How does you put it in the left hand? You know how we know the left hand? It says you should put, where should you put it? Fill in. You should put it, fill in. Al yotcha, written in a funny way. Yudal chavhei. What's a chavhei? It said, yotcha, ksiv, behei. So we dash in koho. As if it says your weak hand. Your weak, which is your weaker hand? Your left hand. Maybe Yod Chosheb Koyach. Sometimes the hay is interchangeable with the ches. So maybe read Yod Koyach, your stronger hand you're supposed to put your tefillin on. Amale, he says to him, when do we say that hay and ches are interchangeable? When they don't conflict with each other in pshat. Here, the hay means a weak hand, the ches means a strong hand. It's very different hands. So obviously, you follow what's written, not what's implied. Miksi beches. Says the Gemara, Ketanoi, actually it's Machlek, it's Tanoi. Yodcha behei is usmol. The Yodcha behei is the left hand, because that is the weaker hand. You know what you're doing with Yodcha? Yodcha l'rabbis is agidim. We learn that left hand from other places. Could maybe stam hand is left, or whatever it is. We know it, or kshartim, or ksaftim. You want to know what you're doing with the word Yodcha? Yodcha, even if it's only a part hand, if it's a weak hand, l'rabbis is agidim. A weak hand means that even if it's, let's say, amputated part of it, you have to still put on tefillin on it. Time you leave another place, English draw. Let's say you have no left hand, potter, but not filling. You're completely potter from filling. It sounds like if you have no left, if you have no arm, you're potter from filling. Because I like it's one mitzvah that the shorei shayad, there's no shayad. You don't put it on any hand. Yodcha is coming to teach you gidim. So we see that what another, that there is an opinion that says that yodcha, the weak hand, means if you're amputated. Somebody learned, Iter, a lefty. What about a guy who's a lefty? Minich tefillin, you could. More welcome. Minich tefillin, but you put your hand on the right hand. You put tefillin on your husmail, which is your left hand. So clearly, this opinion says that a lefty puts his tefillin on his left hand, which is his right hand. Says what about Tanya? We learn Minich bismail. It says even a lefty should put it on his left hand. Says the Gemara, husmail shekol adam, which is l'chayda, the left hand of every person. Sounds like a lefty also should be putting on the same left hand like everybody else. Oh, but Abaye, that's not talking about a lefty. That's talking about an ambidextrous. Ki tanyahi, that's talking about a shaylus la yodah. It's ambidextrous. Tanah, we live in Asha. Al yodcha, wish you place the tefillin shayad on your hand. Which part of your hand? Does it mean on your palm of your hand? On your triceps? Zuki baitis. It's the biceps. between your eyes, that's above your skull over there. That's where you should place the tefillin, not between your eyes, literally above the skull. Hecha, where exactly? Where the head, the forehead of a child is still very soft and tender. That's where you place it. Plainly asked Rebbe the following fascinating question. Mishi yesh leshnei roshim. Somebody has two heads. Be'ezim em tefillin. It's that Siamese twins there. Even though Shmuel Yaakov writes a whole truva that he saw Siamese twins. This is a one body and two heads. Which head do you put on film? Amalei, his teacher, got so offended. He said, well, you're making up stories and you're asking me questions. I kim gali, I'll go to exile for asking me such questions and wasting my time. I kim below shamto, be prepared to be put reprimanded and chastised accordingly. Ada hachi, while he was screaming at him, also a guy walked in. And Amalei, he said to Rebbe, he said to Rebbe, Isialidli, I just had my wife just gave birth, you know, kid. He said, today she had two heads. And my question to you is, Kama be in the mezel coin? A coin, you have to redeem your firstborn, five shkolim, but I have two heads here. Now, if you have normally twins, you only get five shkolim, because one of them was born first, maybe you don't know which one. But when you have two heads, they both came out at the same time. How much should I give? So suddenly Rebbe realized this is real. That's the question. That's exactly what the question is.
I think it is possible biologically.
Maybe. Also, possibly. Ahusava, an old man came along. Tana Le, he said, Chai, you got to give $10. Even though this child is not going to give $10. Taisa brings a story that Ashmedai once tried to undermine, Shlomo Melech, that. He produced a person with two heads. And he married a woman and gave birth to a number of children who had two heads like him, and a number of children like his wife only had one head. And when he died, they came to Yisrael with a question of Yerusha. All the kids with two heads claimed that they're entitled to double portion, the two people. All the kids with one head said, no, you're only one person, you have one body. So what Shlomo do? He took a pot of hot water, an urn of hot water, and he poured it on one of the heads, and the other heads came screaming as well. He said, you're really one person. So in Drush, the Rabbanim say, it means is that the Jews all have different heads. Everyone has different opinions. No two Jews have the same opinion. Every head is different. But when Israel is in trouble, when the Egyptians are in trouble, every head screams out. Because at the end of the day, we're one body. Ain't it not so, but Tony Dom Achoma Metrech Shenemar, it says, Podes, if that's Chayra Adam, you have to redeem the firstborn, Shemei, and if you'll need to Lamed, even if he died before 30 days, I would have thought as soon as the child was born, even though he didn't make it to 30 days, nevertheless, you have to redeem him. Tamil Lamed, it says, Ach Chola. Not every child, only those that survive 30 days. Now, a two-headed child, we can assume, is not going to survive 30 days, so why give him any pigeon? But the great little man, somebody says, Shiny Hacha, here is different. Here is different. Why? Because the bigger gold to talk about to do with heads, and maybe each head counts. And over here, since the fact they didn't die yet, if they died, you're right. If the baby died before 30 days, you don't have to pay $3. But here, the baby didn't die yet. And because the baby didn't die yet, therefore, it's not an issue. Then, therefore, you have to pay the pigeon. Amamar, we learned. Yotcho, he said before your hand, where should you place the tefillin in your hands? You keep boilers on your biceps. Minolan, how do you know? Maybe it's mamish, means your palm. The Torah not yotcho zugevish yadid means the height of your hand. The machlek is and the biceps means the very top of your biceps or in the center of your biceps. Atoim zugevish yadid, you tell me it's the highest part of the hand. Ain't allah yotcho mamish, maybe means your palm. Umbra traders and trader, hand of tefillin, yeah, place the tefillin on your hand. But hand of tefillin, place the tefillin on your head. Malahalan begoivish, like your head, it means the top of your head. Avkanavir also begoivish, it means the top of your hand. Abelezer said, the top of your head means on top of your forehead. Abelezer, above your forehead. Ain't it sorry if you don't need that? It says, v'hoyolacholois, when it comes to tefillin shel yad, there should be something private only for yourself. You don't want other people to see if it's on your palm, everybody can see. Rabbi Yitzchok says, "Ain't it so? You don't need the Hariyim." It says, "But something is what al levavchem. You should place it on your heart. Shut them tight. Should they simma keneged alev? Where should you place it near your heart?" Rabbi Chiyah, Rabbi Achbar, Rabbi Mechavin, Rabbi Chiyah, Rabbi Achbar, Rabbi Chiyah, Rabbi Achzer, Rabbi Avi. You should place it to Shiyat exactly umol halalibuk, exactly where the heart was. Rabbi Asher v'Yossi came in a member. Rabbi Asher was before a member. Have it seated biyodei. He had some kind of a wound on his hand, so he ripped open his shirt so that you can, because it was pressing against his hand, but now you're able to see the tefillin. The comments, Chazi and tefillin, Amalei, Sabash said to him, I thought that the tefillin shayad should be covered. Amalei, only to you and not to others. Doesn't mean that mom nobody's allowed to see tefillin shayad. It means it should be placed in a place that generally is private, but if it's exposed, doesn't matter. Anyway. One of the reasons why I told you last time, we have a shadel, is if they want to cover the shayad, not only to protect it from the top, but also that in case you want to keep it a little covered. Only for you. To be private. How do you know it has to be on top of your head? Maybe it's between your eyes. Above your head. Above your head. Ain't between your eyes. Never kind of say in your eyes. But then I'll say later, I don't want you to pull your hair out for the dead. Between your eyes. Now what do we know? We there's no hair between your eyes. Obviously the hair means on top of your head. Is lemes malahalim begavishrosha means the hair on top of your head. Mokum shoyse korcha, the place where it makes you bald. If you have some hair growing in there between your eyes and you pull it out, it doesn't make you bald. Is afkan over here also begavishrosha mokum korcha. So we should put the tefillin also on your head. If Kudman says beinecha, we learn that tefillin means also above on your head. Rabbi Yehuda Yehuda says, "Ain't a tzaddik, you don't need that." Omer Torah says, "Hanach tefillin biyad, place the tefillin on your hand. Hanach tefillin biyad, place it on your head." Now, when a person becomes has leprosy. One of the telltale signs of leprosy is if hair grows over there. So just like if it's in your beard, when is the leprosy? If it's yellow, comes yellow hair. If it's on your skin, if it's white. So ma'ala halon, on your hand, there's only one sign to tell you that it's leprosy. Because it's not a place of hair. That on your hand, if you have one white hair, that's a sign of leprosy. On your head, amongst your hair, white hair doesn't prove anything. You grayed earlier. It's there, it's yellow hair that makes you golden hair, that makes you a sign that you have leprosy. So each place has one sign. But if you're going to do between your eyes, there's skin and a little bit of hair. So there you need two signs to show leprosy, white hair and yellow hair. So therefore, we know it cannot mean there. This is how it works. Place it on your hand, place it on your head. Malahalo, just like on your head, mokamarola tummy. What are the telltale signs that you have leprosy? There's only one telltale sign. If you have white hair, I've can't hear too, but mokamarola tummy in a place I have a telltale sign. But negech with only one sign on your hair, it's yellow. La fuke beinecha, between your eyes, the ika boss of isad. There you have flesh and there you have hair. Therefore, you need two signs. The ika sa'a love, you can have isad tov. You need white hair and you need gold hair. That finishes the whole sugya. Phil now starts sitzes, going into the next parak. You always do. Why not? Finish daven. You're supposed to daven fast. Says Shulchan Aruch daven fast. Let's see how you follow Shulchan Aruch.
Also, did I have? Oh yeah.
That's why you keep on that.
No, did I have to give me? Have to start a bit early.
Yeah, God's tug. It's God's day. We learned in the Mishnah that the four tzitzis prevent you're not yetzer unless you have all four tzitzis because one mitzvah. Comes along, Rabbi Shmuel says, no, each mitzvah of tzitzis is a separate mitzvah. You have four mitzvahs of tzitzis, and one missing, you still have the mitzvah of tzitzis, according to Rabbi Shmuel. Yes. So now we'll discuss that. My benayu, what's the difference? Oh, Rabbi Yisrael said the difference be sadin b'tzitzis. The difference. Everyone agrees that chatchili you need four pairs of tzitzis, four strings, four different corners. So what's a chilik versus one mitzvah or four mitzvahs? Says the chilik is sodin. You know that if you have klai and tzitzis, the only exception you're allowed to have klai and have wool and linen mixed together, and you're not doing an avera. On the contrary, you have doing a mitzvah. What happens if you have the tzitzis are wool and the beged itself is linen and you're missing one of the corners? So according to Tanakhama, you're not fulfilling your mitzvah. So what happens? You're now doing an aver of klaim. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, even if you have three corners, it's still doing the mitzvah. So you're not doing klaim. That's one difference. Sadin, but tzitzis ikibanayu. If you have linen and the tzitzis are wool, whether there's klaim or not, and one of them is missing. Roba bar ahinama talis bar chamigo. The difference is you have four, five corners. And what happened was you had four corners and you cut one of the corners at an angle. So now you have two corners on each end. So you don't need right angles to be chai chai metzitzis according to this. Even any corner is chai. So you have five corners now. And we know that we learn from a pasuk. It says asher techasabo, that you, it says in the Kisei, it said that you cover yourself. That means even if it has five corners, you still have to put on tzitzis there. The Tanakhama said that it's one mitzvah. So therefore you put four of the five corners you put on. So what's the chiddush of the Torah? That even though you have more than four corners there, you put on four corners, that's enough. However, according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says every corner is different mitzvah, so why does the Torah need to tell you that if you have five corners, you still put on tzitzis? Why would you think otherwise? Must be the Torah telling you, put on all five corners. Big difference. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you'll have to put on all five corners, and according to Tanakhama, only on four out of the five. Ika benayu, that would be the difference. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, Ravuni ke benayu. Ravina says the Rav Huna is a difference. Dama Ravuna, Ravuna said that what everyone agrees. Ravuna said like this: Hayoyitzi betalos she'enim mitziyetzes kilchasa b'shabbos. Somebody walked with a talos on Shabbos, but there was posel tzitzis. How are you allowed to wear tzitzis on Shabbos? Aren't you carrying? So the Rif says because esse of the chaloses of the mitzvah say of tzitzis pushes away the loses of Shabbos. Magi Mishnah has a problem with that because Shabbos is actually an asay and a loisisa. So the Rambam says the reason why you lot of what's in the Shabbos is because the tzitzis, the fringes, are the beauty of the beged. Well, they're puzzle, they're not the beauty of the beged. In fact, you're carrying them. So what happens to your Shabbos? You realize something.
You're not carrying because you aren't wearing.
But the strings, are not part of the beged. Talk about the strings. The beged, it doesn't bother us. It's the hanging strings. And if you're not doing a mitzvah, then the beged is carrying strings. So what if you tied it? It doesn't make it any better. Says the Gemara, unless it's to beautify it or something. You're walking out of talus. Mitzvah does not have the strings. Halacha b'Shabbos chayiv chatas. You commit a sin of chatas. You only do the chatas for carrying on Shabbos. Why? Because you're carrying the strings. But according to the Bishmol, even though you have three proper tzitzis, you're still doing a mitzvah. You're not carrying a Shabbos. The Mordechai asked the question here: why are we only worried about the aveira of carrying a Shabbos? Why aren't we worried about the aveira that he's walking around with pasul tzitzis? So he brings it out from a big chiddush. There's no aveira to walk around with pasul tzitzis. There's a mitzvah when you have pasul tzitzis to fix it up and make it kosher. And every second you don't, you're over the mitzvah asay of having kosher tzitzis. But since the Shabbos, you're not allowed to make tzitzis, so therefore there's no mitzvah. So you're not doing an aveira and walking around with pasul tzitzis on Shabbos in the street. The only concern is, are you carrying? So and that's a problem. If somebody cuts off one of the corners of his beged, didn't do anything, and so it looks like the corners, and what happened was you're trying to exempt yourself from tzitzis. So you have a corner, instead of rounding it off, you just cut it at an angle, you're still chayiv on both corners, so you didn't achieve anything. Why? Shav yetal b'chol made it now, and to turn the tiles of five corners. If somebody was very long, and he sewed up his beged to make it shorter, and now what you did was you put the tzitzis on the bend. You know, you folded the thing and you sewed it on the bottom and you put the tzitzis on that corner. That's no good. Why? Because inevitably, my time with the commander, one day you decide to wear a very long coat, you can undo it again. So therefore, it's not really the corners of the beged. So you didn't do anything. But Nalamik, we learned, kol chamosa is any single jug or canteen. Hatsurut, if you sewed it together, but let's say the bottom was not sewn together, if you tie it together, chutz mishalabai. I said the arrow because once they tie it together, they never undo it again. All the other ones, because since you are eventually untie it, it's not as if that's the keli. We learn if somebody folded up his beged and then he sewed it and then he put this in the corner. Like couldn't do anything. Why? Because he misa. If he needs it, if he doesn't need any more short beged, lifsig v'lishadya. He will tear it open and throw it over himself. Rabbi Shmuel says, "Arba osan arba mitzvah." Shmuel says, "There are four mitzvahs." I'm reading Rabbi Shmuel. Halacha, Rabbi Shmuel. If you don't know Rabbi Shmuel, the halacha. If you don't know Rabbi Shmuel, the halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel. Now, what? There are four separate mitzvahs, and they from all of these halachas we said before. The halacha like him, but less hechad like halacha than like him. The halacha that like him. Ravina have a cause labasi mabidabashi. We're almost finished the Gemara with Lamad Zayin Amad Beis in the very bottom of the page. You'll need a new one tomorrow.
Okay.
We're up to the very end of today's Gemara. Yeah. Ravina. Habika Ozil Abaste the Mar Ravashi. Ravina was walking behind Mar the son of Ravashi. Beshifta the Rigla was on Shabbos when they spoke about Yom Tov. This was a month before Yom Tov, and sometimes Rashi says it's talking about during Yom Tov. You always talk about, you know, Shifta means on Yom Tov itself. You call, the Rav calls everyone together, gives a drosha. And what happened was Ifsik Karned the Chute, one of his corners tore. In other words, he's wearing pasul tzitzis. Lomlemi didn't say word to him. Kad Motel Lebesa. When Marvin Ravashi came home, Omla, he told him, Mahasam Ifsik. He said to him, I want you to know that you're wearing pasul tzitzis back from the yeshiva, or the shul, when you said the Rosh, you pasul, but I didn't say anything. There's a big argument that I'm on the Rosh. If you see somebody wearing klayim, do you have to tell him that he's wearing klayim? Because if he does, he has to rip it off himself straight away in the street, and he's going to embarrass himself. According to the Rambam, you must tell him, because every second he's walking, doing an aver, you have to stop him. According to the Rosh, if you don't tell him, he doesn't know. Let him be a shaggy, because Kavod Abriyas says, don't have to tell him. I didn't tell him about it, because if he knows that he's wearing pasul tzitzis, he's not allowed to walk in the street with it. You have to pull it off. Amalei Rav Ashi said, "Iamrit li mahasam." If you would have told me back then, shadisa, I would have tossed it off. You know, as if he's upset with him. Why didn't you tell me back in yeshiva instead of waiting for you? Says the Gemara, "Bahama ma, didn't we learn?" No, but the halacha is that all four tzitzis, you're not yetzah unless you have all four tzitzis. Not like a mishmol that says that every corner is a different mitzvah, and if one is torn, who cares, you're still doing a mitzvah. They're all one mitzvah. Says the Gemara, even if you'd have known, let's say in the street, that it was possible, he wouldn't have tossed it off, because it's humiliating to toss it off. And we have a rule, Hamama, didn't we learn, Godl covered abriyah, that covered abriyah is so important that it overrides an aveda in the Torah. Targum, no, you know what? If you're doing a sin, for example, you're in the bathroom on Shabbos and you have no toilet paper, you're allowed to do an Issa Derabbanan to transport a stone, let's say, from a Carmelis, or to rip the toilet paper, not on the perforated lines, but across, even though you're also in the Rabbanan, but cover the bris. You can. But not in the perforated line, because then it's not destroying, then it's you're fixing. So you're allowed to do that on Shabbos, because kovet habriyas, to walk, you know, to clean yourself, is doiche Allah says in the Torah. You know when? Only when it's Issa Derabbanan, but not by Issa in the Torah. I'm walking around with tzitzis on Shabbos that you have no right to. You're carrying on Shabbos, and in the Shusha Rabbim it's Ma'at Torah.
Toilet paper you would have to tear, not on perforation.
If you have the toilet, yeah, that's right. You just rip it like it looks ruined. Interesting. It's clear from here that they had no Erev in their cities. We're talking about towns. Talking about in towns, not talking about, you know, in the metropolis, and they had no aid of. Otherwise, it was a deal. He's allowed to carry it and everything else. He could have taken it off and carried it or something. So you might say, or not that. Then he's carrying it only with the rabbanon and the kavod habriyos. Would have told him not to take it off. In fact, it wouldn't be doing a aver at all. Carrying, the whole question is carrying. But if there's an aid of, there's no problem. It's clear that Mar Rav Ashi in his city didn't have an aid of. And yet his father, Rav Ashi, said in Gemara Erevin, and Rava said, it's a mitzvah to make Erevin in the city. So not everyone did it. The others say, Mahasam Amalei. And others say the story happened differently. He actually told him in the yeshiva, hey, Rav Ashi, your tzitzit just ripped, and we're about to go home. Take it off. Amalei, and Rav Ashi told him, my daita, what do you think? You want me to take it off? Nothing wrong with walking around with it, because me walking around without a talus, everybody can see that the chief rabbi in the city is not wearing a talus or a tzitzis. They all wonder what's going on. It'll be humiliating. And that's covered abrius that people see. I'm wearing without a talus. He said to him, no. And he said to him, sorry, the Gemara said we can't understand that, because it's not a case of an Issa Deraisa, it's a case of Issa Rabbanan. Why wouldn't he have, if he would have told him back then, he wouldn't have to take it off, because Kavod HaBriyos would have been Deicha Alois Issa Rabbanan, and he could have walked with it. Why was Ma'arav Rav Ashi questioning what he said to him? He said, just tell me your tzitzis are torn. He didn't tell him take it off, and you don't have to take it off, because it's what do you call it? Sorry, and you would have to take it off because you're carrying a Shabbos. Why would Rabbi Ravashi be upset with him for telling him? On the contrary, it's a good thing he told him. So therefore, we go back to the first version of the story, which is that he told him later, and he said, "Oh, you should have told him before because I would have taken it off." I covered a bris, but here's an Issa Deraisa, Shusarabim. It's a Shusarabim. Also hard to understand how they had the Shusarabims in towns and bubble, because if you need 600,000 people, which town and bubble had 600,000 people in those days?
The standard was different.
Sorry.
The standard was different.
The standard had to be the same.